progression of Ryan Helinski. Yeah, mm-hmm. He's a talented young QB. He's a guy, too. You know, you go back to the Justin Fields thing. Like he was on Georgia, so who knows how things play out there. But I want to see how he progresses. Emily has me a Temple T-shirt on the way.
Nice.
I'll be looking forward to that. But, yeah, I think so with South Carolina playing Kentucky, that's Georgia's next two opponents after Tennessee. Mm-hmm. So I think that's definitely a good one to keep an eye on. We don't play Mississippi State this year, but another chance to get a look at Auburn. So I think that's some of the big things you take out of this. And with A&M, that figures to be a one-sided game against Arkansas, and you know Alabama and Ole Miss certainly figures to be a one-sided game if you're thinking about the potential of maybe facing Alabama in the SEC championship game or someplace else. But so I would say, and that's a very good question, you know, just kind of the teams you can scout out a little bit. I think the top priority would be just to watch that Kentucky, South Carolina, because those will be Georgia's next two foes after the next game against Tennessee.
Now, looking at the schedule, and you see that Florida is playing Towson, that's a game that you're probably thinking yourself to skip over. One thing I'm kind of interested to see, because obviously Felipe Franks has lost for the season with his ankle injury, and Kyle Trask has stepped up and been that filling quarterback.
Listen, he's been terrific.
He's been terrific, but something that I want to look out for, they also have Emory Jones, who's a five-star, I believe. Is he a true freshman this year?
This is his second season. In the same class as Fields, Trevor Lawrence.
That's right.
And, the kid at Miami, his name escapes me now. All four of those guys came out of the state in the same year.
Because after this weekend, Florida has Auburn. They got LSU, South Carolina before they play us. Now, if Kyle Trask goes out there, isn't playing well against Auburn and LSU, Emory Jones could be the next guy in there. And you assume that he's going to get a decent amount of playing time tomorrow against Towson. We could have a quarterback battle. And, you know, let's say Florida does play well against the Auburn, LSU, South Carolina. If, you know, we're beating up on Kyle Trask throughout the game at the cocktail party and they run Emory Jones on the field, you know, that could be something that we're not prepared for. And we've seen this story before, unfortunately.
Yeah, and he played a little bit in the game last year.
He did.
They primarily went with Franks. But, yeah, I think that's another good angle to look at there. But Trask has been, you know, you don't want to see a kid get hurt, but that was Florida has traded up at quarterback big time.
I was going to say, it almost sort of reminds you a little bit of what happened with Eason and Fromm.
It does. You know, you don't want to see anybody get hurt. But
right. That, of course, Felipe Franks will get the nod because he's been there the longest and, you know, he's been ingrained in the system. But it's like, I think they're playing better with Kyle Trask under center.
No brainer. I don't think they beat Kentucky.
No, definitely not.
If that does. And again, I hate it that the kid got hurt.
Yeah.
But they're much better off.
No, absolutely.
And he's such a story. I mean, the guy hadn't started since his freshman year of high school.
Yeah.
It's like, how does that happen? Well, that was like when Matt Cassel came up. He had been Matt Leinart's backup.
Yeah, he
at
never
USC.
Started a single game at USC.
No,
he
and
basically
backed up Tom Brady. So Leinart wins a Heisman, then he backs up Brady, then he goes in, and
He basically had a good pro day at USC.
Yes,
that's all that he had in college, pretty much.
Yeah, that was just crazy.
Unbelievable story.
That's part of what makes it so great.
So we'll stay on the topic of Georgia, Florida. As I was listening to Bulldog Live last night, and they mentioned that both Rennie Kern and Jarvis Jones are going to get inducted into the Georgia, Florida Hall of Fame this year. Now, when these two guys come to mind, what are the first things that you think of?
Well, Rennie had a big game in that 2007 game. 2 weeks before that, we were losing to Vandy, and it looked kind of bleak, but Rennie kind of emerged. He got right in there on a Vanderbilt fumble. Noshon became the centerpiece of the offense. Coe 2 kicked a game winner. Next thing you know, Georgia was off and running in Jacksonville 2 weeks later when Noshon had his great game. But Kern, at that point, he was midway through his freshman year, and you could tell things were clicking for him. He and Marcus Howard had those great games there. So, and Rennie, he's a classic guy. He's just an overachiever. Now, he's one of he's small. It's like, he's short. You've ever seen this dude.
Yeah, he plays big.
He is, you talk about put thick together, and a very, when you talk about just cerebral leader on the field, very, very sharp guy, kind of a, it'd be like having a linebacker's coach on the field with him. So he was really good. For Jarvis Jones, I will simply say the games he had against Florida back-to-back in 2011 and 2012 were the best back-to-back games any Georgia player has had against the Florida Gators since Herschel's three from 80 through 82.
Mm-hmm.
Just astounding.
Rightful spot in that Hall of Fame then.
Astounding. Yep. In those two games. Just, like I said, Herschel from 80 through 82, no Bulldog since, has had better back-to-back games against the Gators than Jarvis Jones did.
That 2012 game is one of my all-time favorites, just Bulldogs games, period.
No, when I kind of think of, you know, people say, what's the, you know, start listing off plays. Like, if you had to say, what's the play of the decade for the 00s, it'd be Green to Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I kind of think, you know, and I mean, obviously just the last two-plus years we've had so many, but, I mean, the Malcolm Mitchell touchdown against Florida in 2012
mm-hmm.
might be it.
Yep.
I mean, that was, whew.
Yeah.
That was just, I remember when that happened because I kept thinking, like, golly. So we had missed all those opportunities. We missed mm-hmm. field goals. Aaron Murray had a horrible game until that last drive. Gurley yep. was great. Jones was great. And then I'm just like, oh, God, how are we going to get our hearts ripped out? And then I just got this tingling. I felt like I was a kid back in the early 80s when Malcolm scored. It's like, my God, we might do this.
Yeah.
We really might do this.
And who punched? Was it Jones
Jarvis
that punched the ball out?
Sanders Cummings got
it. I thought so. Yeah. Like I said, one of my all-time favorite Georgia games.
And then you want to talk about, there was like a 3rd and 8. Florida knew we were going to run, and we just ran Gurley up the gut, and he got the first down. It's like, mm-hmm. oh, my God, it's over.
Yeah.
Because I thought we're going to have to just hang, kind of like, we're going to have to hang on one
right.
more time
right.
here. But that was definitely one of the great wins of this decade.
Yeah. No, for yeah. sure. For sure. Stick with college football right here. You heard me and Brame talk about it a little bit yesterday. We're talking about teams that, like a BYU team that mm-hmm. is technically an independent and everything, but has the possibility to maybe join a conference one day. You know, there's certainly some openings in the Pac-12, Big 12, whatever. If you had to pick out, let's say, 4 non-Power 5 teams to join power conferences, who would they be in which conference?
Well, I mean, for years and years, you always thought, okay, Notre Dame to the Big Ten.
It would make sense.
It makes way too much sense. I think BYU's at the top of the list. You would think BYU to the Big 12.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is, like, you probably need to get BYU and Utah in the same league. And
yeah.
Utah's not leaving the Pac-12. If Central Florida continues to win, I could see the ACC sniffing around there with what they've done in football. Boise State. Now, I could see Boise and BYU being a package deal.
Yep.
For at least, you know, the Pac-12 geographically
right.
would make sense. But, you know, they're thinking like, well, households, we've already got Utah
yeah.
you know, in Idaho.
Well, the Big 12's proved they don't care about geography. They'll take anybody anywhere.
No, I mean,
so.
West Virginia. So, I mean, those are three that kind of stand out to me. And I think that the other school, because they were in the Southwest Conference, they've had some ups. Now they're going through a down thing. I mean, I think Houston
mm-hmm.
in the Big 12.
It would make sense.
Yes, because, I mean, when Houston's been up,
yep.
they've been really good. And Houston's also the, I believe it's the 4th or 5th biggest TV market.
Yeah,
in the country. So those would kind of be the ones that jump out to you.
If you could add two teams to the Big 12, say Houston, maybe even a Boise State too, then you could go back to having split divisions in the conference.
Sides, yeah.
You could literally just have like a Texas part of the conference and then everybody else.
Because what, now you got 4 from Texas, is that right? You got the Horns.
Got Tech.
Yeah, the Horns, Tech,
TCU.
I keep remembering. Yeah,
Baylor.
And Baylor. A&M's not in there anymore.
That's right.
That's the other thing. A&M and Missouri need to go back to the Big 12.
Yes. So, yeah, you got Texas,
and Arkansas,
TCU.
And we need yep. to have 11.
But, yeah, if you added Houston in there, then you can have five out of
Texas
16s on one side.
Well, what you could do, no, to your point, though, if you got Houston in there, you could pretty much do – yeah, it's right. We're just going to have a Texas division and then the rest, which could also – you know, set you up for an Oklahoma-Texas Big 12 title game.
That's right. Well, it's a title game a year ago.
Potentially, yeah. I know you'd have to throw in one more in there, and that's where that stuff get balanced out. When the SEC did it, it was so right, because you had the 10, Arkansas in the West, South Carolina in the East. They were on the same
Yeah, yeah, it made sense.
Tier, yeah, it just, and then they started playing each other every year. And you had at the time the Big Six. Right, Georgia's playing Auburn, Florida, LSU, Alabama, Tennessee.
Yep.
Then you had Kentucky and Mississippi State and Vanderbilt and Ole Miss. It played out very nicely.
Now, the maximum amount of teams in any conference right now is 14. Do you really think we'd ever get to like a 16-team conference one day?
I never thought you'd see 14.
Never thought you'd see 14?
I think there's been a 16. I think at one point the WAC was.
Okay.
The WAC or the Mountain West before it split. And the way they started doing things, they basically had to do the schedules. They technically only had two divisions, but it was in four quadrants. So you would play... I mean, it was bizarre how they had to do it. So I guess you'd play the seven on your side, and I don't know. Certainly, they didn't play 11 conference games, but they basically had to divide it up.
Yeah.
Into fours.
Yeah,
it's too much. 14's too much.
I was gonna say a lot of like the high school divisions throughout the state do something kind of similar, right, where they have to split it up because you just have so many teams.
And 14's a tough number too with divisions because you've got an odd number. So if you want to do something like have all divisional games for any sport, you can't do that.
Yeah,
because you got seven on each side.
Right.
So it's a bad number. I do not foresee SEC retraction coming.
No,
anytime,
definitely
though.
Not. No, but hey, we never thought they'd add A&M in Missouri either.
No, that's one of those. As I always like to say, if you'd have told me 30 years ago. Like Missouri, nothing against Missouri.
Right.
Great town. And
yeah, absolutely.
Terrific programs there, but they're in the Midwest.
Yeah, if you were told me that a team from the Midwest was in the eastern side of our conference, that wouldn't have made much sense.
It's like Arkansas and Texas A&M playing the Southwest Classic
in
the Southeastern Conference.
Yeah.
As our plumber says, that just don't make no sense.
No, it doesn't. No, it does not.
It's like, but Mr. Bridges, when I do the laundry machine, the sink starts to gurgle. It just don't make no sense. Like, well, that's why you're here.
Exactly.
So,
something ain't right.
I'm telling you. Whew, Mizzou in the SEC East. Who'd have thunk it? All right, good stuff there, T-Money. Kind of run through the schedules as we continue.